Hello there, and welcome to episode 4 of Right You Are, with me, John Payne. Hope you're okay, and you're safe out there. And I just think it's important to, in these kind of, this period of staying in, should we call it, to stick to a kind of regular routine, so days don't all kind of stay, you know, seem the same. So I've decided to try and do one of these episodes at least every couple of days. I did one yesterday, so it's become quite a regular thing here. But basically, I'm over the next few episodes, well, quite a lot of episodes, I'm going to be reading out a chapter of my new work in progress, which is called The Badger Helper Watcher, which is it's sort of like a teen. I did write it down, the target audience. I can't remember. It's kind of like early teens, I think. I don't know any early teens, any early teenagers, whatever you call it. But the style of it is kind of, it's not, you know, it's not 10 or below, but it's not exactly 15, 16. So I'm going to say early teens, 12, 13, probably enjoy it, I reckon. Possibly, probably not. Anyway, I'm going to read out the, yesterday I read out the new prologue, which was quite exciting. We had our hero, Sam. He was tied to a tree and blindfolded, and he was being threatened by some old men. Sounds quite sinister, that, but it wasn't that sinister. It was, he could just hear the voices, and they were talking about gassing him or something. But just some kind of memory wipe gas. I'm not sure that was clear in the actual chapter. But anyway, yeah, I've read that out yesterday. Today, I'm going to read out, Waffling, which is basically the original prologue. I'm just flipping ahead to see how long this chapter is. Yeah, I'm going to attempt to read the whole of chapter 1 out as well, because it's kind of linked to the prologue, obviously, in there some ways, but I will just got to go back to it now. Here we go, back at the beginning. Yeah, the original prologue is called Waffling. So here we go. This is the Badger Helper Watcher. Oh yeah, I've got to point out the dog that I mentioned yesterday. I can't remember if he's, yeah, it's a bit too mysterious. Remember, this is the first draft, I'm sure. The original name of the dog was Rolf, but I thought with the whole, you know, negative connotations was Rolf Harris now. I think I'm going to change the name of the dog to Ruff. I've got a few suggestions here, actually, in the notes. It was Ruff. So there's a wood that I used to live near called Ruff Wood, which I quite like. And Ralph, but I think that's a bit too similar to Ralph. That's how you pronounce it, from the Muppets, the dog that plays the piano. So I think I'm going to stick with Ruff. So there we go. Anyway, here we go, The Badger Helper Watcher, prologue. Waffling. This, as you may have gathered, is a story. It's quite a sad story, but not all the way through. In fact, it starts off really rather happily and continues like that for a good happy while before the sad bit rears its ugly head and then... What? You didn't think I was going to give away the ending, did you? What would be the point in me writing the beginning and the middle bits if I was to just tell you how it all turns out right here, right now? If you want, you can skip to the end of the story and get on with your life, but I can tell you now that we're missing out on old men topping up their pensions and confusing dogs, amongst other amazingly interesting things. Still here? Good. Then I'll stop waffling and get on with the story. I do like waffles. Especially when there's a big dollop of ice cream slowly melting on top of one of them. Sorry, I have to somehow write my love of waffles into the story. Chapter 1, or Crazy Talk. Our story begins with a young boy called Sam and his dog called Ruff, who likes waffles with melted ice cream on top. Sam and Rolf had just moved to the small town of Valley Vale, along with Sam's parents, who Sam referred to as Mum and Dad, as most respectful 10-year-olds should. Sam didn't want to move because even though Deadenville was a very miserable town with miserable people living in the miserable rundown houses, he knew that he would miss his friends, whom he was proud to count amongst some of the least miserable people in that smelly old place. Sam, Rolf and Sam's mum and dad have been forced to move by something called the Witness Protection Program. Now Sam watched a lot, possibly too much telly, but he'd never seen, much less heard, of that program. He thought to himself that it was probably one of those educational programs that were on whilst he was at school. Anyway, Sam's mum explained to him that they had to move away because his dad had seen something that he shouldn't have. What it was, Sam didn't know, because no matter what he did or said he'd do, his parents wouldn't tell him. In the end, he guessed that his dad had seen old Mrs. Grosswell taking her dentures out or taking a bath, both of which Sam always tried his best not to imagine for obvious reasons. I just need to add a side note here. That whole thing about the Witness Protection Program, I'm going to change that. This is the first draft. I wrote this almost probably over 10 years ago now. I had a long break from it when I wrote the last book. So I am going to change that. It's just there's a new reason why they've moved to Valley Vale from Deadenville. So that will become clear a bit later on anyway. So I'll carry on now. Here we go. Yeah, neither Sam, Rolf or Sam's mum and dad wanted to move to Valley Vale. But once they got there, they could hardly believe how friendly everyone was. On their first day in town, as they were driving through the main street, looking at the various shops shining in the sun, including a waffle shop that Rolf couldn't take his eyes off, an old policeman suddenly appeared at Sam's dad's window and gently tapped on it with a pen. Sam's dad immediately looked over at Sam's mum, very worried indeed, not sure what to do. "I told you you were going too fast," Sam's mum explained. But Sam's dad just looked at her with that look of, "What are you talking about, woman?" on his face that he often used on long car journeys of this sort. And Sam knew that this time in particular, his dad was right to use that expression. For most of the journey, at least since about 10 minutes after they had left Deadenville forever, they had been stuck behind a gigantic tractor that didn't seem to want to do anything in a hurry, including turn left or right. In fact, the tractor was still there in front of them, still not in a hurry to turn left or right, which made Sam's mum's statement sound even more like crazy talk. Now, I've just got to put a bit in here as well. That will change, as there won't be a tractor in front of them the whole way. This place, Valley Vale, is kind of cut off from the rest of the world, so I'll have to, as I said, this is the first draft. I was kind of making up some of the story as I went along, as it came out. That's the best way to write, to start with. Just, I mean, have a basic plan in your head, but kind of be open to improvisation as well. And you can always change it after. Obviously, it's not like it's set in stone. So, yeah, keep that in mind when you're writing, if you like to write. Anyway, back to chapter one. Sam's dad wound down the window to see what the policeman with the pen wanted. Without the dirty glass in the way, Sam thought the policeman looked a lot less stern and scary. "So what can I do for you, officer?" said Sam's dad. "Officer? Now there's something I've not heard anyone call me in years," the policeman said quite jovially. Still quite nervous, Sam's dad tried to make up for his mistake. "I'm sorry, do you prefer to be referred to as Sergeant? Sergeant?" No, of course not. Just call me Bob. Everyone around here just knows me as Bob." "Bob? Bob the Bobby?" Sam's dad joked, seeing that this policeman wasn't about to fine him or anything nasty like that. "Bob the Bobby?" Bob the Bobby repeated. "No one's ever called me that before." Sam's dad tensed up a bit. "But maybe they should from now on." "Yeah, Bob the Bobby. I like that. That's brilliant. Sam and his mum and dad all looked at each other, wondering what was going on, while Ruff was still drooling over thoughts of eating waffles in the waffle shop. So, Sam's mum broke the awkward silence. What was it that you wanted, Bob? Oh yes, I forgot. I just wanted to... Then Bob stopped mid-sentence and tried to compose himself, as if he was trying to act more like his uniform would usually suggest that he should. He cleared his throat in a half-joking manner, put his pen slowly into his outside jacket pocket, and started again. I, Bob the Bobby, as he said this, he tried to stifle a laugh, with little success, would like to welcome you to our special little town of Valley Vale. He suddenly stops in his tracks, again, realising something. You are the new family, aren't you? What gave us away? Sam's dad said jokingly, gesturing towards the six suitcases tied securely to the roof rack and the mini trailer attached to the back of the car. Bob the Bobby didn't quite pick up on Sam's dad's joke. Well, I noticed that there's six suitcases attached to your roof rack, and you have a mini trailer attached to the back of your car. Bob paused and straightened his tie, waiting for Sam and his family to be impressed. This isn't just a fancy dress costume, Mr. Smith, he said, flicking some non-existent dust off his jacket. This uniform represents years of top-grade training. Another awkward silence followed. We'd best be going anyway, said Sam's dad. These suitcases won't unpack themselves. Then Bob the Bobby got even more friendly, if that was possible. I can give you a hand with that, if you'd like, Mr. Smith. Sam's dad started to look a little worried. Surely the police had more important things to be doing than helping people unpack their bags, like catching criminals or giving directions to little old ladies. What was he up to? Don't you have, more urgent things to be saying to Bob? Like catching criminals and... But the look of confusion on the old police officer's face stopped Sam's dad in his tracks. It did nothing to reassure him that his family were any more safe from criminals in this town than they were in miserable old Dead Endville. However, what Bob the Bobby had to say next did. Oh, I assume that you've been told before you got here. Been told what? Sam's mum and dad uttered in unison. We thought that was why you came here. Well, that and our famous cheese. Even Sam was on the edge of his seat with suspense. Well, as near to the edge of his seat as he could get, with his seatbelt still on. The only one in the car who wasn't bothered was, you've guessed it, Rolf. With his nose squashed up so close to the window that everyone outside was starting to run away from him, scared at the sight, and more specifically away from the waffle shop, which was just fine by Ruff. What did you think we'd been told? Sam's mum and dad persisted. Well, I thought you'd been told... This was all getting a bit too deliberate on Bob's part, Sam's mum was thinking. That there is no crime whatsoever in Valley Vale. And that's your lot for today. That was chapter one. Possibly on... Well, it doesn't really matter. I'll be listening to this at different times anyway. In a couple of days, I'm going to record a new one. Chapter two, and its subtitle is Hardback Hoarder. So I'll leave you with that to think about. I hope you enjoyed listening to my work in progress. I hope some of my thoughts on it have helped you with what you're working on at the moment. First draft's important, but I think it's most important to get the first draft finished as quickly as you can, which is a lesson I've learned the hard way, because it took me forever to write the first draft. Confession time, I've not actually got to the end of it yet. I'm still typing up my notes where I'm up to, and I've not actually written down, because I like to write in pen. I've got a fountain pen. you know, I had to write the story first in pencil, mostly because I enjoy the act of writing it with a pen. But apparently it's a backup as well in case the computer goes a bit wonky. And yeah, I've not written the end of the story, not physically written the end of the story. I know how it ends now. I hope I can remember once I get to the bit where I have to carry on. But it should be fine. Sometimes if you do forget aspects of a story that you thought were amazing, sometimes I like to think, maybe too optimistically possibly, that if it was so amazing, you probably would remember it. So maybe it's an opportunity to just think of a different way if you can't remember what you originally thought. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Write You Are, and I'll see you next time. And all the best to you. See ya.